implanting also in us the fear of the blessed commandment, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing unto thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies of Christ our Lord, and to thee do we send up glory, together with our Father who is without beginning, and then all the holy, good, life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Praise the blessed hand that is listening to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readings of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Attend. At that time, Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the man whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through their name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
The joy of the feast be with you.
And also with you.
Last Tuesday, for the leave-taking of Pascha, we read from St. John's Gospel. Watching the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Pharisees say amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." The gospel of the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, read at the leave-taking of Pascha, as we are preparing for the Feast of Ascension, opens onto much deeper meaning. The Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem now comes into view as the image of his ascension into the heavenly Jerusalem. And the words of the Pharisees now take on a much deeper meaning. Look, the Lord has established the world in the glory of his ascension, so that it shall never be moved. For he has carried our nature on his shoulders up into heaven, and there's nothing you can do about it. The mystery of the Lord's holy Pascha and his ascension into heaven constitute now the fundamental principle of the world. and there's nothing you can do about it. That means that it doesn't matter a whit whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not. This is not an abstract idea or theory that's being projected onto the world. This is the fundamental fact of the world's being. It's the ground of the world. The world is rooted not in the darkness of unbelief, but in the divine mystery of the Lord's death and resurrection and glorious ascension into heaven. Whether you receive it or not, whether you cooperate with it or not, it remains the principle of creation, and there's nothing you can do about it. In fact, the world never was rooted in any other principle. For the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ our God, the Lamb that was slain, is somehow from the foundation of the world, as we read in more than one place in the New Testament. It is the mystery of God hidden from the ages that has now been revealed in the terrifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world, that is, and even we ourselves, are now rooted in hope, a hope that is real and concrete, a hope that is the very principle of the world. It's not theoretical, because it has been fully accomplished by God Himself in the mystery of His glorious ascension, and there's nothing you can do about it. Blessed are those who are blameless in the way, says the psalmist. I am the way, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way, Jesus Christ, is the better and changeless path that ascends to God, as we read in the texts for Holy Theophany. He is found following the teaching of the church in the depths of the Jordan, not at the top of the Jordan, but the depths. Not in the sky, but in the depths. Because He's the ground. He's not an idea. He's not an abstract theory. He's a concrete, actual fact that is the ground of all things. But the waters of the Jordan are the waters of creation. And these are also the waters in the baptismal font. They are the waters that are in the mystery of the human heart. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. And actually, you could translate it in the Greek because it's in the middle voice. You could translate it. Blessed are those who walk themselves in the law of the Lord. In other words, it's a conscious, intentional choosing to walk in the law of the Lord. But Jesus Christ is the law of the Lord. If we walk in the law of the Lord, Jesus Christ, well, we are ascending to God in the way who is Christ. And we ascend to Christ by uniting ourselves to Christ through obedience to the law, which is Christ, the Word of Christ. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ completes His self-emptying descent. His ascension is the glorious issue of the consummation of His union on the cross with His bride, the church, the human soul. The Holy Fathers call this mystery of Christ incarnation, of His union with us in the flesh, with His union with us on the cross, where He becomes absolutely one with us even in our death. They call this the pneumaticos gamos, the spiritual marriage. To acquire the Holy Spirit and to be born from above as a child of God, from the union of Christ and His bride, the church. This is the purpose and the meaning of human life. The Lord's ascension is accomplished in union with his bride. It's a nuptial union. It's a loving union that has all the intensity and even more, and all the pleasure and even more, and all the joy and even more than the union of the man and the woman in marriage. The Holy Fathers even call it the erotic union between God and his bride. The psalmist says that the Lord fills with good things our erotic desire, even our sexual desire. The word is epithymia, which can refer to erotic sexual desire. And we were talking about that this morning in the adult ed, how the union of God with the bride, his soul, with his bride, the soul, surpasses all other unions. And this union with God that far excels even the most intense, most pleasurable union that we might know on earth, this is the principle of creation. This is the mystery, this mystery of God's, again, I'm quoting from the Holy Fathers, erotic, even St. Maximus coins this phrase, this loving desire, agapetic eros, this agapetic, you know, agape, he's combining agape and eros, this erotic love, this loving desire, this mystery of the loving, of the union of God with man in this loving desire. This is the mystery in which creation moves and has its being. It has been accomplished. It's been consummated. And the whole world has gone after him, for he has taken it on his shoulders up to heaven. The world has been cleansed. The world has been washed. It has been deified. It has been glorified. And there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot unbelieve it out of existence. And in fact, if you do not believe it, you accomplish only believing yourself into blindness. Blessed are those who search out his testimonies, the psalmist says. Where? What are the Lord's testimonies? Well, Isaiah, the prophet, says, the whole earth is full of his glory. And Habakkuk, the prophet, says, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his glory. So the angels and the prophets cry out, might this glory be the wonder of his ascension into heaven, which is the crown of his conception and birth of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and which is the glory of his holy Pascha. And might this be the testimonies that the psalmist is speaking of. His way was through the sea, says the psalmist. His path was through the great waters. The Lord's Christ, you recall, was in the waters of the Jordan. He was in the waters of the creation, the waters of death. The testimonies of God, then, are written into the very nature of creation. But, the psalmist says, his footprints, his testimonies, are unseen. How then does one search out the Lord's testimonies if they are unseen? Again, at the leave-taking of Pascha, the church sings out, thine incorporeal angels knew not how thou wast incarnate. The soldiers who guarded thee did not perceive when thou didst arise. The unseen testimonies of God bear witness to the great and unseen mystery of his holy Pascha, unseen because it was accomplished in the midst of the earth, in the deep or the tomb of the human heart. And the verse from the leave-taking of Pascha goes on. These testimonies are sealed fast against the inquisitive. Let's say they are sealed fast against those whose soul cleaves or is wedded to the dust, as the psalmist says, that is, to the wisdom of their own opinions, who in the arrogance of their own reasoning set themselves up as the judge and arbiter of these unseen testimonies, these works of the uncreated God, even to the point of subjecting the testimonies of the uncreated God to the judgment of their puny created intellects. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not your thoughts. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. So then, how does one search out the Lord's unseen testimonies? The psalmist tells us, blessed are those who seek him out with their whole heart. When the risen Lord appears for the first time to the 11, you'll remember that he rebuked them because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Here is now the unseen testimony of the church. It is the testimony of the myrrh-bearing women. It's the proclamation of those who had seen the risen Lord with their own eyes. The Lord rebuked the 11 because the reason they did not believe this testimony of those who had seen him was the hardness of their heart. The wonders of God, and so the wonders of creation, the wonders of your own being, of your own nature and destiny. I'm drawing again, I'm going back to that same passage from the Pentecostarium that we heard at the leave-taking of Pascha. The wonders of God, it says, are made manifest. That is to say, the unseen becomes seen to those who worship the mystery with faith. To those who love the Lord our God with all their heart, who search out his testimonies, who seek him out with their whole heart, who cleave or who unite themselves, who wed themselves to the testimony of all the Lord's testimonies, the testimony of all the Lord's testimonies. And that testimony is the wonder of his ascension. That is to say, they seek out the Lord himself. They don't seek out what somebody else says about God. They want to know God directly from God himself. They don't read about him in books. I mean, they do read about him, but they're not looking for what others think about him. They're looking for God, not in their heads, but in their hearts. And they want to know God directly. And the church is telling us, it's possible. You can see the unseen. How? Through faith. Through the love of God. With your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. Seeking him out with your heart. Seeking him out in the way that you live. Seeking him out in the way that you think, in the way that you speak. Seeking him out with every fiber of your being. Drawing all of your faculties together so that they are lined up with one purpose. And that is to seek out the Lord God with all your heart. Dear faithful, the Thomas tells us, and perhaps we may take this as one of the unseen testimonies bearing witness to the Lord's glorious ascension. The psalmist sings to his beloved Lord God. He says, I pursued the way of your commandments. In other words, in love. I ran after your Son and my God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, when my heart was enlarged. The unseen testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ are not outside of us precisely because they are unseen. For they are the mystery of God hidden before the ages now made manifest to his saints, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. They are the testimonies of divine love, which when we receive them and begin to live by them, begin to think by them, to speak by them, they begin to enlarge our hearts. And we come to know these testimonies of God in our heart because we are living in them. They have become our very being because we are living according to the principle of creation, which is the worship of God in spirit and in truth, to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I would suggest that the way that we can begin to seek God out with our whole hearts and to see the unseen is by loving the one who's right next to us. And for many of us, that means our spouse. For the others, it means mom and dad. It means your children. It means your close friend. But let's begin to love those right in front of us and begin to seek out the Lord with all of our heart and begin to feel the glory of our hearts enlarging in the love of God, the love of our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is ascended. Amen.